Joining us on the telephone is the 9th District Representative for the United States Congress here in the state of Indiana. It's Republican Todd Young. Todd, good morning. How are you?
Glass, I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, it's good to talk to you, and we appreciate your time, and we know how busy folks in your position are, and you are rocking and rolling here in the 9th District. And Congress and the government in general have been in the spotlight for a lot of right reasons and a lot of wrong reasons lately. Let's first dive in to talk about just how is Washington functioning these days, and what are you trying to do to make it better?
Well, you know, I mean, it's generally and popularly and I think correctly regarded as dysfunctional, and there's a lot of gridlock going on in Washington. It's not to say there aren't some things behind the scenes where common ground's being found, but, you know, per James Madison's vision in the Constitution, we've got all these checks and balances and separation of powers, which firstly makes it real difficult to move anything through our legislature and working with Congress, working with the executive branch, rather. But beyond that, you know, there's a lot of dysfunction that ought not be occurring, and some of that has to do with egos and political calculation and rigid ideology, failure to kind of listen to the other side and so forth. But, you know, part of our job is also to stand on principle and to make arguments. And there's principle disagreement. You know, some folks want a larger government. The role of government in society is larger and more energetic than my own. And so, you know, we're hired not just to pass legislation and move bills, but also to make the arguments.
And now that you've been in this for a few years, did it meet your expectation, fall short of your expectation, or is it a little bit cooler than you thought it would be getting involved at the first time?
You know, cool is not the first word that would come to mind, frankly.
I thought I'd try to sneak that one in there.
You know, it's always, you know, it's a privilege and honor and so forth to be able to serve. And it is, it's incredibly sort of stimulating, the job, you know, being able to go out there and spend a lot of time with constituents, and a lot of my colleagues are great people on both sides of the aisle. So I enjoy all that that dialogue and fellowship and so forth. You know, the failure to get things done is at times frustrating, but I do remind myself that our system's sort of designed that way. We're supposed to deliberate and think before we act, which helps to contain the size of government and protects people's liberties in the best of circumstances. So, you know, by and large, when I look at the whole job, I'm able to spend two-thirds of my time back here as opposed to in Washington, and that was a big surprise. And that helps me stay connected not just to my constituents but to my kiddos and my family. And I'd say, you know, it's even better than I thought it was going to be.
Excellent. Our guest this morning is Todd Young. He's the 9th District United States Representative here. That's everybody knows. It's Brown, Clark, Crawford, Floyd, Harrison, Jackson, Johnson, Lawrence, Monroe, Morgan, Orange, Scott, and Washington County. So it shows you the South Central Indiana part of that. When you're,
you just did it off the top of your head.
I know, that was really good.
I tried to do it alphabetically. I don't know if I got them all correct. But here in South Central Indiana, you've got a larger the territory is large in itself, where not everybody perhaps is on the same page, whether it's economically or religiously, yeah, or faith-based or whatever it is. How do you find the balance talking to all that to bring maybe a core of ideas to Washington to get things accomplished?
Yeah, I mean, you know, without sounding too academic about it or too constitutional or lawyerly, I really do. I looked at the Federalist Papers. I think they have the best vision in there. You know, as James Madison put it, the role of a representative is to refine and enlarge the views of their constituents. So, you know, it's not to just echo the popular sentiments at a given period of time. That wouldn't be leadership, and I don't think any of my constituents would consider that leadership. But it is to stay in very close touch with them and consider out what their challenges and aspirations are in life and see how we can help. And then I bone up on whatever issue of the day I can to the best I can through reading and hearings and consulting with constituents and experts. And in the end, I cast votes of conscience, what I think will be in the best interest of my constituents and the country more generally. And I come back and I explain my votes, the popular ones, the unpopular ones, the ignored ones, and try and stimulate interest in ones that are more important. And seems to be working pretty well, ultimately, I think, over a period of time. Though people may not agree with you on every vote in every circumstance, you do earn some trust. And that's really the best thing you can have in your representative.
Well, and like you said, the fact that you're spending two-thirds of your time back here in your district means you're staying in touch with what people want and talking to them. And that's awesome. So, and kind of surprising to me. So one of the activities, you just reintroduced a social impact financing bill. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so this all started, thank you so much for asking about that. This all started from my recognition, well before I got into government, that most of the best ideas in our society, resolving social ills and challenging pathologies we have in our communities, seemingly intractable ones, right, like long-term unemployment and homelessness and trying to get more people adopted out of foster care and so on and so forth, the real solutions are bottom-up solutions. There are social entrepreneurs out there that start not-for-profit organizations. There are people working out of churches. There are local governments sometimes that develop real creative approaches that are adapted to their own populations. And so my thought was, how can we scale these things up if there's a real strong evidence base that shows these things work? Well, we're broke. I think all your listeners know that. We're about $17 trillion in the hole right now, so there's not a lot of money floating around.
A couple trillion here, a couple trillion there. We're talking about some real money.
Yeah, exactly. So we got to think outside the box, as it were.
Does that tie into to what we're doing here in District 9? Does that tie into what we're doing nationally, internationally? You have to check all those boxes, don't you?
Yeah, I absolutely do. So let's take it close to home here. Indiana has one of the highest rates of infant mortality in the country, and this is something the governor and others are working really hard to address, and there are a lot of reasons for it. But there are interventions, if you will, out there that help address these things, working in other states and communities. And so the idea would be to ask private foundations, high-net-worth individuals, other non-governmental entities to scale up these things that work in places like Bloomington, Indiana, or Indianapolis, or Lake County, Indiana, an area of high poverty, and so forth.
And I think the interesting part of this is the private versus the governmental angle with it, because who seems to be more efficient at running stuff?
I don't think
that's a hard question, but people don't seem to want to believe that or embrace that.
And who tends to care more, frankly? Somebody in Washington, D.C. in a big building who just responds to whatever incentives they have, how many checks did you send out, and so forth, or somebody who's operating out of a local church, who gets to know somebody in a personal way and kind of can tailor services to that individual's needs. And so the financing model would actually pay back the investors in these projects, the people who scale the stuff up, out of future government savings. So if you get somebody who's long-term unemployed back into the workforce, obviously you're not paying for their Medicaid, for their unemployment insurance, and other things. And you can pay back the investors a modest return on investment. And here's the really cool thing. You only pay them back if they're successful, if they meet some defined outcomes in terms of getting somebody reemployed. And then that philanthropist can redeploy the money to help more people.
So it's a system that keeps replenishing a system.
Yeah. It's kind of like a market within the social realm. And so we're getting a lot of support, even bipartisan support. But this is, it sounds like a conservative idea. It is. But there's something here to please everyone and help our most vulnerable. And that's something that we got a moral imperative to make happen.
Our guest this morning is Congressman Todd Young, Republican from District 9 here in Indiana. I like the bottom-up argument because I think the top is not going to solve all the problems. And when you talk about working it from the bottom up, the grassroots, the entrepreneur, how is government helping them get permits, get patents, get started up? Is the tax code too ridiculous? Are the market doors to the rest of the world too tightly shut? Where can you help that guy make a difference?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take that litany of questions. Just say we need to reform the tax code, right? We live in a decentralized, networked world with a lot of increasingly well-educated, motivated, aspirational, creative people, and we need to harness their energies and their ideas. And one huge barrier to making that happen is our tax rates, firstly, that are too high, but perhaps even more importantly, just our ridiculously complex tax code, which advantages oftentimes the larger enterprises over smaller businesses, which is where the real job creation is. And compliance is mind-numbing for anybody who's tried to do their own taxes. You know, 14 hours a year on average per American household. So there's real room for improvement. We're trying to simplify the code in Washington. Hadn't been done since 1986. We're prepared to gore some sacred cows in the process and take on some special interests. And hopefully we'll have some success in the next couple of years.
Well, Congressman, we know you're very busy. We'd love to have you join us down the road if you get some free time, or if you're ever around in the area, stop by and say hello. And we can't thank you enough for your insight and time this morning.
Hey, your program's fantastic. Keep inviting me on. Have a great day.
I'm recording this. I've got that all written down.
And
briefly, I tell the story on here every now and again that we did grow up about 150 yards from each other. Can you just go ahead and confirm that so people stop harassing me on the street?
I can indeed. Yeah.
See, told you, Julie.
I cannot vouch for anything. Cannot vouch for anything you've done since then.
No. I'm not asking you to. I'm not going to call it my pardon just yet. I'll save that for a rainier day. Todd, we really appreciate the time. I'm glad we could have a laugh and get to some big time issues that are affecting the state and country as well. And we will be in touch, and we will have you back on the program.
Thank you both. Out here.